All right, I've been bringing you a whole series of messages, and that Jesus is the way. And I know that you've been taking such excellent notes that you'll be able to tell me back all the ways that he's the way. You may not be able to do it in order, I understand that, but you should be able to do it. I told you when I first started this series, before I wrote this series, that we were called the way before we were called the church, right? And you all know two reasons why we're called the way. Because Jesus Christ said what? I am the way. And then he gave a whole list of the ways. And I told you that the other reason why the early church was called the way is because Jesus says there are two ways. A narrow way and a what? A wide way. And I told you that back when Moses said to God, well, whom shall I say sent me? What did God's reply with? I am, right? I am sent. And so Jesus, he concluded with the I ams. I am. I am the way. And I've been telling you, I am the way to what? I am the way, Jesus said, to the life. I'm the way to the Father. I'm the way to truth. I'm the way to joy. I'm the way to peace. I'm the way to true love. I am the way to those things. Well, today we pick up on another way that he said here. He's the way to prayer. He's the way to prayer. And, you know, we have on a Sunday morning here, we have elders praying over there. Of course, I get to see. We're looking what's going on. We have elders praying over there. We got Sissy, Chrissy, Mary praying over there. We got people praying over here. If I was to ask you the reasons why we go to prayer, you may not be able to give me the biblical response as why we go to prayer. And so today we explore that. What are the reasons why we go to prayer? So let's turn into our Bibles and let's examine Jesus is the way to prayer. And let's examine Jesus' example. Let's go to Mark 1:35.
Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed.
So Jesus is an example of prayer. It says early in the morning, he went out, and he got all by himself, and he what? He prayed. Jesus prayed. And we are to be an example into the world of Christ-likeness. And it clearly says that early in the morning, Jesus went off by himself to what?
Pray.
I wonder how many of us get up early in the morning and go off by ourselves and pray. Many of us get up in the morning just in the nick of time. Probably to beat the traffic on the way to where we're going. How many understand that? That's probably what we're doing, right? We're getting up early enough to, you know, get going, right? We're just barely getting up enough to brush our teeth and jump in a shower or whatever it is that we do to get in the car to get to where we're going. What if we all got up like 10 minutes earlier? I'm just throwing it out. I mean, we're not talking days earlier or hours earlier. What if we just got up, what, Pastor Ed? 10 minutes early. 10 minutes. And just spend time with the Lord. Would that be a model that Jesus exemplified for ourselves? He did. He did say he got off early in the morning, took himself away from everything else, and what did he do? He prayed. Let's go to Luke chapter 6, verse 12.
Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God.
Wow. So he gets up in the morning, goes off by himself in a quiet place, and what does he do? And then night comes, and he gets off to himself, and he what? Prays. All night. All night. You know, one of the things that I hear when asking folks about their prayer life, some folks tell me they just don't have the time. That's what I'm told. And probably you're right that in your busy schedules, you probably don't have time to put prayer in that schedule of yours. I mean, I know something about busyness. Should we not put it maybe in addition to that busyness? Not in the busyness? It's probably true that in the busyness, we probably can't find time to pray. Well, there are times we find time to pray, like stuck in traffic. We probably find time to pray. Or you forgot your wallet and a policeman's behind you. You praying that he's not wanting to talk to you. Or you get up in the morning and you see that your sticker has expired on your license plate. How many have been in that situation? And you're praying to Almighty God, please, not today of all days. But see, we can't find time in the busyness. So what we should do is get up before the busyness starts. You all can get up 10 minutes earlier and spend time with God, couldn't you? Not hours earlier, I'm talking 10 minutes earlier. Probably a lot of us were moaning last night because we knew we were going to lose an hour worth of sleep. How many people said, oh, I'm going to lose an hour? Come, there's somebody in this room. Somebody in this room had to say, oh, thank you for being honest with me. But guess what? We made it, and we made it every year they did that. And how many know they've done that many years? I just don't know why they just don't scoot it ahead 30 minutes and leave the thing alone. How many know? That's just, split the difference, leave it alone. But can we get up 10 minutes earlier and spend time with God off by ourselves before the busyness starts? Who can do that in this room? Who can get up 10 minutes? And how many of us could either turn the TV off 10 minutes earlier than normal and go off to a quiet spot and just thank Him for getting you through a day? How many could do that in this room? So we have no excuses, do we? I know there are times that we say we're too busy. Wouldn't that be a fascinating dilemma if you pray to God and He said, not now, I'm busy? Think that through. I want you to think that through. Not now, child. I'm busy. I know you want to talk to me, but hey, not now, because why? I'm busy. How many like to have that response from a holy God? I'm busy. Turn in your Bibles, please. Chapter 11 of John. This is the Gospel of John. Chapter 11, verse 41.
Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank You that You have heard Me.
Wow. So He gets up early in the morning. He goes off to a quiet place to what, Scott? To pray. In the evening time, He goes up into the mountain, probably by Himself, to what? And He prays how long? All night. Now in the middle of the afternoon, He's just giving God thanks. Thank You, God, for I know that they have heard Me. And so many people say to me, we just don't have time. Or the second reason people say to me is, but I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to pray. When we call upon people to pray extemporaneously, they I don't know how to pray. Well, yes, you do. You've been taught since you've been a child. You do know. You do know. Because you've been taught as a child. Turn to Luke 11, verses 1 to 4. I know that you know, because you've been praying this way for a long time. Fact is, I know that you do know how to pray, because I bet if I went into Sunday school classes that you attended, I would see your name with a star beside it. Luke 11, verses 1 to 4.
Now it came to pass, as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, that one of His disciples said to Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So He said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.
How many of you know how to pray? You've learned that. How many learned that when you were a kid? So we do know how to pray, right? How many of you could pray that prayer if I called upon you to do it? How many could pray that prayer? Of course you could. Well, of course you could. So that I don't know how to pray. No, what you're really saying to me is, I don't know how to overcome my fear. That's what you're saying. I don't know how to overcome my anxiety. I don't know how to overcome this dreaded feeling I have on the inside that if I get it wrong, people will laugh at me. That's what we're really saying. How many know that's true? That's the truth. Not that I don't know how to pray. It's just that I don't know how to overcome my awkwardness. I don't know how to overcome my anxiety. I don't know how to overcome my fear. How many know that is true? Well, if Bible's going to tell you, I'm going to call upon you right now to pray. You have fear right now, don't you? Some of you do. If I said I'm going to call upon one of you right now to come up here and pray for us, some of you are shaking in your boots. How many of you are shaking in your boots? Would you dare raise your hand? I might call upon you, Jenny. Jen. But we've been praying for a long time. How many of you would have a hard time going to your mom or your dad when you were kids asking for something? How many found that quite easy to do? How many found it quite easy to go to your mom and dad and say, hey, can you help me out here? Well, you go to your daddy. You go to your daddy. You know, there was a professor in seminary. He brought out, he was going to teach seminarians how to pray. And he had told all of the seminarians that we're going to have a class in prayer. Make sure that you come. And the seminarians decided, oh, we really want to learn how to pray. And so the day came. And the auditorium was full of men and women going to seminary, and 300 or 400. And he said, okay, are you ready to learn how to pray? Well, the seminarians were ready. They had the tape recorders and their paper and pencils. And he went on stage and brought back his 5-year-old little grandson and said, here, son, teach him how to pray. He said, dear Father, help me. Bless me today. Bless my mommy and my daddy. Bless my brothers and my sisters. Amen. He taught them how to pray. For if you don't come to me as a little child, you will never see the kingdom of heaven. And so if you think you need to go to some seminary and get some fancy-spancy degree to learn how to pray, you are sadly mistaken. How many know sometimes a prayer like this, help, works? The motto of prayer, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You exalt him. You exalt him first. Father, you are so big. You are so wonderful. The things that you have made by your hands, I can only imagine. You exalt him. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as I want to have. Lord, and I want your will to be done in who? Me. Your will be done, not ours. Your will be done. And then thank him for everything that you already have, and then let your petitions be known. That's how you pray. It's not that hard. Don't let your fear overcome your desire to pray. Turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 9.
For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding.
Colossians was given as an example of the disciples who prayed. This is the disciples now. The disciples have learned how to pray, and they're saying, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. That's the disciples. Let's turn to Acts chapter 8, verse 22.
Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart.
All right. We're going to go into all the reasons why we need to pray. Reason one, ask for forgiveness. That's reason one. And sometimes people will say, well, you know, everything is fine today. I have no reason to pray. Really? Really? How many fell short of the glory of God this week alone? Then you need to be praying for what? Forgiveness. How many, we're like what? 2 full months in plus 1 week. How many certainly messed up this year already? So we need to be praying for what? Forgiveness. So when we say that we have no reason why we need to go to prayer, I'm going to give you one great big one right now. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Forgiveness not only for what you did, but forgiveness for what you didn't do that you should have done, and forgiveness for the things that you thought, and forgiveness for the things that you said. How many have got reason to say, Lord, forgive me? So when you get up in the morning or you lay your head down at night, you might want to start by asking him to what? forgive me. Wipe the slate what? Clean. That I may get up in the morning and brush my teeth, you know, and jump in a shower and wash my body and put on clean clothes. How many of you know that you can jump in a shower and put on clean clothes, but you might be still dirtier than coal? So you know what? I'd rather be clean from the inside out than the outside in. So one reason why you need to go to prayer is what? Forgiveness. Let's look in our Bibles, please, to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. What's the first reason for prayer?
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness. Write that down. There could be a test. Forgiveness. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7.
Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with all thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Reason number two, peace of mind. How many need peace of mind in your hearts? Boy, that's a really big reason to go to prayer, right? Anxiety and a peace of mind. You know, I've asked a lot of people when I counsel them where I work, you know, you've been told a lot of ways to handle your anxiety. You've sought secular counselors for your anxiety. You've gone to counselors. And here's the answers I hear for the cure to anxiety. CBT, does anybody know what that stands for? Cognitive behavioral therapy, changing the way that you look at life, changing your thought patterns. That works. CBT works. A second thing I hear is medication. Medication works. It will alleviate your anxiety. Self-help tapes, though, will help. I've heard exercise helps. All those things are beneficial. But guess what I never hear? Prayer. Pray. Never hear it. I could go tomorrow and ask 100 people who are suffering from anxiety. I can tell you I can go and I can do it. I can go where I work in some other place. People are struggling with anxiety and they're in therapy and they're receiving medication. And I will ask them, what help was suggested to you? And I will never hear what?
Pray.
Won't hear it. But Jesus said, my peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. It says clearly here in Philippians, do not be anxious about what?
Anything.
So the second reason that you need to pray is for peace of mind. Peace of mind. How many of you are expert warriors in this room? Who's an expert warrior? I mean, first class, honest to goodness, first class. We only got two. The rest of you? Oh, well, three, four. All the warriors, raise your hand. Come on, come on. How many can write a book on it? You're so good at it. Thank you, Jen. Thank you. Who's beside you raising her hand? Mark could write one. You could write. Paul could write one. You know, all the correct ways to worry. How many could write it? You know, first you do this, and second you do this, right, Jen? Third you do this. And how many could write the following sequel to the book, All the Things I've Solved Through Worry? Second reason to pray is what?
Peace
of mind. What's the first one?
Forgiveness.
It's going to be a test. Yeah, forgive this confession. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 16. So two reasons so far. We need to pray to God for what? Forgiveness and for peace of mind. Anybody find any reasons to pray yet? Forgiveness and peace of mind. Oh, we got some more to go, Sue. It's going to get good.
For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives his name. I pray out of his glorious riches that he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being.
Wow. Pray for empowerment. Pray for the power of God to come upon you, that you may do what kind of things? All things. Pray for strength. Pray for power, that you can face the world, that you can overcome your problems. Who in this room has got problems? Somebody once said to me, you know, I just got so many problems. Well, guess what? That's pretty normal. So far, you're right in this way with everybody else. How many's got problems? We all got problems. And if we're waiting to feel better till our problems go away, how many know you got a long wait? It ain't going to happen, Whitey. Because as soon as those ones come away, guess what? More's coming. And so what we need to pray for is what? Strength, empowering of the Holy Spirit to come upon us that we can stand and get our heads up and get our shoulders square and say, let's go. We got stuff to conquer here today. How many can pray for that sometimes? Give me some strength here today, Lord. Just give me strength to get through what? This day. Three things you need to pray for. What are they?
Forgiveness,
peace of mind, and empowerment. Let's turn in our Bibles, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9.
For a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries.
Pray that doors will be open. Pray for the opportunity. Pray, yes, for the opportunity even to witness to who? Your enemies. Pray that this gospel message that has been brought to you can be brought to others. Through who? Through you. I wonder how many of us exponentially can touch by us talking to somebody else and not waiting for me to do it. What do you think, Clyde? A lot more people could be touched if we all do it than just I do it. And so you pray for opportunities. You pray for a door to be open. For what? For you to get a new job? Well, a lot of people pray that way. I'm certainly not suggesting that that's wrong. But we need to be praying thusly. Lord, Lord, open a door for me that I may find a different job and that I may what? Boldly profess Jesus Christ. I wonder how many of us add that latter part. And we just pray the what? The former part. And so what we need to do is we need to pray for what? Opportunities. We need to pray for opportunities to proclaim our faith. We need to pray for opportunities to be a testimony. And you know what? If you don't have a testimony, then you only got a telemony. If you have never gone through a trial, you got nothing to testify about. You only got things to tell about. And so why is it that sometimes we have to go through mountains and valleys so that we can stand up and say, hey, let me tell you what the Lord has done in my life, and I can tell you exactly what he has done through me. How many of you in this room have a testimony? Without the test, you'd have a what? A telemony. Sometimes people say, why do I have to go through this? Why did I have to do this? Why did I have to live? Because God wants you to have a what?
Testimony.
A testimony. That's why disciples were in a boat. So when they got to the other shore, they could say, let me tell you what just happened to me. How many could say the same thing? Let me just tell you what just happened to me. So we pray for what? We pray for forgiveness. We pray for peace of mind. We pray for empowerment by the Holy Spirit. And we pray for what? Opportunities. Turn in your Bibles. Colossians 4:3.
Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open us a door for the world to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains.
Opportunities to spread the gospel news. I don't want a show of hands. I don't want you to do this because I don't want to call anybody out. I don't want to. But I'll tell you this, all last week we were all somewhere. And the somewheres where we were probably pretty much different because I didn't run into any of you. So I know I was someplace different than you. So chances are pretty good we were all someplace different. Is that a fair statement? We were all someplace different. Did you pray at all last week for the opportunity to be put into a position where you were able to share the love of Christ? I don't want you to raise your hand. I'm just throwing it out. Were you someplace where you could have had the opportunity to spread the word of God, but because of your timidity, you didn't do it? I'm just throwing it out. And you don't have to preach the gospel message on a stump. You can do it by how you love one another. You can do it by how you act with one another. Did you pray that way? Well, today's Sunday, right? Daylight saving time. You have more light tomorrow than you did yesterday. so you can go out and spend some more time and spread the gospel news. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 19 to 20.
That utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make it known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that is, and I may speak boldly as I ought to speak.
Pray for boldness. Boldness. Now, some of you need to turn some boldness down at times. I clearly understand that. That boldness when you need to give somebody a piece of your mind. We need to turn that down because nobody really cares anyhow. But we're praying for Whitey. Whitey, turn that down, Whitey. Turn that down. We need to have boldness to proclaim what? The gospel. And all other areas of our life, we need to be what? Humble. How many understand the big difference? We're not talking about preaching from upstairs, you know, and pointing your finger down at everybody else. I'm not talking about boldness in a self-righteous way. Right, Robin? We're talking boldness in proclaiming the gospel way. And all other ways, we need to be a little bit more what? Humble. A little humble. Because when we're bold in a self-righteous way, who do you think listens to you? Nobody. Well, you're listening to you. But guess who else is not? Nobody else. They're basically tuning you out, right? But this kind of boldness, we're talking about boldness in what way? Proclaiming Jesus. I think Sue just raised her hand. She said she was timid about praying, right? A little shy about that. And so we pray for what? Boldness.
I don't pray long.
Praying long is, you don't have to pray long. That's pretty good. You don't need to pray long. Here's a very short prayer that was very effective. You never even think about it. It's a very short prayer that was very effective. And it happened on Good Friday, a couple thousand years ago. A very short prayer, but very effective. Jesus, remember me when you go into your Father's kingdom. That was it! That was it! Jesus, remember me when you go into your Father's kingdom. And what did Jesus say? Surely I tell you, today, you will be with me in paradise. How long did that prayer take? Lord, remember me when you go into your Father's kingdom. Was that short? Was it effective? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. How many know sometimes the better ones are the short, effective ones? The right to the point ones, right? So we pray for boldness. Now, I gave you a list so far. We got more to cover. Hope you write them down. There's going to be a test. People are already afraid. You writing stuff down? You're not writing stuff down? And you're right there. Pray for help right now. We can pray for forgiveness, peace of mind, empowerment, opportunity, boldness. Go to James 1, 5 to 8.
If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave on the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways.
We need to pray for what? Wisdom. And you're not going to get wisdom at Harvard. You may go into Harvard and be more dumb when you come out. Oh, you may have a lot of sheepskins on the wall, but you ain't making any sense. How many know what I'm talking about? How many know there's some pretty learned people in Washington that are making no sense? Is that true? I mean, there's no... Pastor Ed, you be the 2 days we straightened it out. If Pastor Ed was up here in 2 days, it'd be straightened out. Right? You don't get wisdom at Harvard. You get it at the School of Hard Knocks. How many been to the School of Hard Knocks? You get wisdom in the School of Hard Knocks. Scott?
Graduate.
You're a graduate. You're a graduate. What's the matter with you? You know, we need wisdom. How many know this? Wisdom and education is two different things. We pray for what?
Wisdom.
Wisdom. And there are so many people that could save a lot of time and don't have to call me. If you sit down and you think things through using your wisdom. And you're important. You say, God, give me wisdom through the Holy Spirit. And wisdom through the Holy Spirit will empower you to come to grips with a lot of things that you have trouble with. Like, why am I going through this? Wisdom makes you say what? Everybody what? Goes through this. God's not picking on me. We live in a fallen world. We live in a place where we know that we have to work to eat. And we know that the earth is going to pull up what? Thorns and thistles. Are we supposed to have an easy life? No! And when you sit back and say, I want an easy life, you're not ever going to get one. You were never born with a silver spoon in your mouth. Even those who win millions and millions and millions of dollars are miserable. They're miserable. How many know that? Miserable. Wisdom. That stuff happens to who? Everybody. But good things happen to who? Everybody. But we never think about that, do we? We like to do poor me, poor me, poor me, poor me. You know what wisdom will get you? Here's what wisdom will get you. If you really truly pray for God's wisdom, this is what this will get you. I can't believe this. I fell down the step and I broke my leg. Where were you, Lord? Why did you not protect me while I didn't break my leg? Oh, you're blaming God for that? Did you give him the credit for the 62 years you didn't break one? I mean, I'm just saying. I didn't hear you praising God. You didn't break your leg yesterday, but you gave him the blame today. Are we just kind of, are we, ain't people weird? Right? Wisdom. Wisdom. So we pray for what? It's a test. Wisdom. What's the other ones? Ready? We pray for forgiveness. We pray for peace. We pray for empowerment. We pray for opportunity. We pray for boldness. We pray for wisdom. James 5, 14 to 15.
Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven.
Mm. Pray for what?
Healing.
James 5, 14 and 15. If any of you are sick, call upon the elders. For what?
Healing.
That's the one everybody knows about. You already know that one, right? How many ever cried out to the Lord because you needed a healing? How many ever cried out to the Lord because you were sick? How many ever cried out to the Lord because somebody that you loved was sick? Oh, we got that one down pretty good, right? I don't really even need to spend a lot of time with that one. That's the one everybody goes to. Healing. Has anyone ever seen a miracle? Who's seen miracles? You know, it's one thing to see one. You know, it's a different one being part of one. Who's ever been part of one? Praise the Lord, right? Praise the Lord. So we kind of know that about healing. Let's go to the last one. Last one will be in Daniel 4, 17.
This decision is the decree of the watchers and the sentence by the word of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. Gives it to whomever he will, and sets over its lowest of men.
Tranquility. Just a tranquil life. God's got it all under his control. He's got the worlds. He's got the stars. He's got the universe. He's got the earth. He's got all the countries. He's got it covered. How many of you know God's got it covered? He's got it covered. He has really, truly, really, truly, he has got it covered. Got it covered. The other day, our kids were over at our house, and I was holding Ivy. She's 5 months old. Sean and I fight over her. I was holding Ivy, and I had her on, I was sitting on my recliner, and I was holding her, and she was sleeping. You think she was concerned about me dropping her? Why not? She should have been. I'm getting old. I wreck motorcycles. I do drop things. But you think, Robin, you think Ivy was concerned about me dropping her? What do you think Ivy was doing? Sound asleep. Sound asleep. No, she wasn't praying. Who said that? I hope you're writing notes, Don. Hope you was writing notes. You may be the one I'm calling on. It's called the principles of reciprocity. In English, that means what? What goes around comes around. No, she wasn't praying. She was what? Sleeping. She was sleeping. Because her grandfather has it what? All under control. You know, you probably all went to bed last night, and most of you hopefully fell asleep. Or you were waiting for Sunday morning, some of you, I can tell. Just saying. Who watched over you last night while you slept? God did. But who took care of your issues last night, Herm, when God... Who took care of your Herms last night? God did. While you slept, guess what happened? The world kept going. It kept going. Everybody watch the second hand on that clock. Is there a second hand up there? Yeah, watch that second hand up there. Ed, tell me what direction that's going, that second hand up there. It doesn't go backwards, huh? There is no clock on the face of the earth that Whitey does what? It doesn't go backwards. The day, you know, before, you know, by tomorrow morning, this day is over, and you're not going to get it back. And guess what? You can worry about it all you want to, but guess what, Dave? It's still going to go. You can go home right now and sit in your recliner and worry all day long, but guess what? Still going forward. This day is still going forward, and you're not going to stop it. How many are glad that God's in charge? Amen. Turn to somebody and say, thank God you're not in charge. I'm just saying. Just a peaceful, tranquil life. And how many know this world is messed up? But how many know God's still in charge? God's on the throne. He's watching this. And this is all prophetic. All the stuff you see, it's been talked about in the Bible. It's all going to come to an unbelievable, fantastic end. But how many know that, hey, we win. Our side wins. We win. If you get terribly, terribly ill, there's only two outcomes for you. Let's just be bold. Either you will get better or you won't. That's it. And so if you get better, is there anything to worry about? Herm? Nope. What if you don't get better and you go to heaven? Anything to worry about? Either way, what?
Win-win.
Win-win. You never put yourself in a lose-lose. Always in a win-win, right? How many know we win? We win. You know, 50 years from now, this room's going to look a lot of different. Hopefully we're in a different place, but there'll be different people in here 50 years from now. Well, Sandy and Jenny will still be here, but most of us. These two guys are going to be around a long time. Let's do the last one, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 2.
Therefore, I exalt first of all the supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all those who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet, peaceful life in all godliness and reverence.
Last thing to pray for, everybody else. Everybody else. Our government leaders and those in power and authority in other countries, and pray for all what? Men. So what's the list? What is the list of things that we ought to pray for?
Forgiveness.
Peace of mind. Empowerment. Opportunity. Boldness. Wisdom. Healing. Tranquility. And everybody else. How many know that encompasses quite a lot of people? Quite a lot of people. How many have found at least one reason to pray that you might not have thought of before? Amen. Well, next Sunday when we go to prayer, there should be some people praying. Get up a little earlier, 10 minutes. Right, Whitey? 10 minutes, 10 minutes. If you can't squeeze 10, then do 5. Just get up a little earlier. Just set that clock 10 minutes early. Spend time with the Lord. Go to bed tonight. Take 10 minutes and what? Pray. If you have nothing at all to pray for, really, truly, then pray for me. Pray for me that I have the strength to continue to do what I do. Pray for me. Pray a hedge of protection around me in all the places that I go. Pray a hedge of protection around me that I'm able to proclaim the word of God boldly. Pray for me. If you're okie dokie mighty fine and you're just on easy street, pray for me because I'm not. How many want prayed for in this room? Who wants prayed for? See, if you can't find any reason to pray, pick somebody and pray. Let's pray now, Father God. We just thank you so much, Lord, for the opportunity to pray. For there are many places that we cannot pray in this world for risk of losing arms and legs and hands. And Lord, thank you that we have such a place, live in a country where we're free to pray. Lord, we honestly confess there are times we should have prayed a lot more. Help us to find the time. And thank you, Lord, for never being too busy to hear us. In your awesome name we pray these things. And all of God's people said, amen.